All our lives, we recognize that God has been faithful and so, so good to us. These Bible presentations are just one way we use our funds to build up God's kingdom. Would the ushers please come forward to gather the gifts that we have prepared? O God, our provider, we thank you for your steadfast care for us. Please bless this offering, helping us to show our love to each other through it. Amen. Our scripture reading comes from Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with the 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with the 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed? Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, we're very grateful to have Eric to share the message of this word.
Well, good morning, everyone. How are we doing today? Last time I was in this building, I was getting a nice free meal. It was very nice. My name's Eric, for those of you that don't know me, and for those of you that do know me, my name is also Eric, and that's the only joke I'm going to tell you today, so you can laugh now. Make me feel more comfortable up here. Oh, and by the way, my name is Eric, spelled E-R-I-C. Your pastor spells it with an H, right? C-H? Yeah. But thanks so much for the invitation to be here this morning. Yeah, we have attended the community meal here. That's a really great thing that you guys do. And so, yeah, it's just a blessing to be here with you this morning. What I want to do today is talk a little bit about that parable of the talents. I want to talk a little bit about those first two servants, the difference between those first two servants and that third servant. And I want to share some of my own testimony with you, how I started more like that third servant, how God did some things in my life, three specific things that you can't miss that I think that he's doing in all of our lives to help us become more like and stay more like those first two servants, okay? Before we start, though, I'm going to need an amen guy. So who's the rowdy guy? Who's the rowdy person in the group that can yell amen? Who do we got? Right here? All right, my man right out front. Let's practice real quick. You're supposed to say amen. All right, we're off to a great start. So, what's the parable about? The parable is about God, the master, entrusting his talents to his servants, us. And if you don't know what a talent was back in the day, a talent was about 75 pounds of gold or silver, so it was very valuable. But more importantly, what Jesus is talking about, what he's referring to when he speaks about the talent, he's talking about any good thing that he entrusts to us, right? So he is talking about our finances, but he's also talking about any good thing. So our families, our friends, our natural God-given abilities, all these things are supposed to represent the talent. Amen?
Amen!
Yeah, all right. So that's what we're going to talk about. I like to think about it in modern day terms, right? So the boss, the owner of this company, he goes off on a trip and he comes back and he says, okay, guys, what'd you do with my business while you were gone? First guy comes up, he says, hey, boss man, you gave me 5 accounts. I put them to work. Here's 10. Boss says, great job, buddy. You get a promotion. We're going to Applebee's. Next guy comes up, he says, hey, boss, you gave me 2 accounts. I put them to work. Here's 4. Boss says, great job, buddy. You can go to Applebee's with us. You get a promotion, too. Third guy comes up, he says, boss, I knew you were a harsh man harvesting where you didn't plant. So I took that account, and I put it in a safe when you left, and I got it out this morning, and I dusted it off, and here it is, good as new. I didn't lose it. What's boss say? You know what he doesn't say? He doesn't say, it's okay, buddy. Everybody gets a participation trophy. No, he says, you wicked, lazy, slothful servant, if you knew that I was a harsh man harvesting where I didn't plant, you should have at the very least, put that account in the bank where it would have gotten interest. Instead, you did nothing with it. So he says, take it away from that guy that's going to do nothing with it and give it to this guy over here that's going to do something with it. Right? Take it away from that guy that's going to do nothing with what I've entrusted him and give it to this guy that's going to do something with it. That's a sobering thought, right? I know for me, I can relate, unfortunately, a little bit too well to that third servant. You see, I grew up in a small town in the great state of Michigan. No. I grew up in a town in Michigan, a small town, a lot like Archibald. And I grew up in a young age. I loved playing music. So my parents got me guitar lessons when I was in the fourth grade. And then two of my buddies and I, we started a band when we were in high school. And we just started playing all night, every night in my parents' basement. And I got to tell you, when we started, we were horrible. It was really bad. It was just noise in the basement. But the more and more we played, the less and less horrible we got, until we got to this point that our friends started asking us to come up out of the basement, go play music at their events, and eventually people even started offering us a little bit of money to play music. So this thing that started as like a hobby that I would do with a couple of my friends, it started to turn into like this dream or this goal. And the more we did it, the higher and higher that dream and that goal went on my list of priorities, until eventually it occupied the very top spot, all the way up here. And the only problem with that is, as my dreams and my goals and my selfish ambition went higher and higher and higher, it had to take the place of something. And unfortunately, it took the place of my relationship with God. My dreams, my goals, my ambition, higher, higher, higher. God, lower, lower, lower. Until eventually, I just kind of took God, put him over here on the shelf. Checked in with him from time to time, you know, usually if I needed something. But for the most part, I was just kind of off in my own world doing my own thing. Now, I don't want you to get the wrong idea. In no way am I saying that having a dream or having a goal is a bad thing. Those are obviously good things, right? No way am I saying playing music or playing in a band or even playing in that band that I started with back in high school. None of those things were bad. They're all good. What's bad is I took a good thing and I put it up here in God's spot and I made an idol of it and I worshiped it. And I'm here to tell you guys, you can do that with good things. Nothing belongs here aside from our relationship with God. Amen?
Amen.
But that's the direction I was going. And the guys and I worked really hard on that band, and we put out a record, and we got a management contract, and we moved to Los Angeles, California, and the next thing you knew, I was a full-time musician, getting to tour, getting to do all the things that I thought I wanted to do. And as you guys probably know in this room, I'm sure you know this already, but the recipe for happiness is set a goal, work hard at goal, achieve goal equals happiness, right? No, amen. No, it's not. I mean, I always say this, that's why there's so many happy people in Hollywood, right? But yeah, that's not the recipe for happiness. And at that point in my life, I was actually really unhappy. And this whole thing kind of came to fruition. It kind of came to a tipping point whenever we got to do the only international tour that the band and I got to do. We got to fly over to Japan, and we were over in Singapore, and we ended up on this little island in the middle of the Indian Ocean, and we were playing for the troops over there. And I'll never forget it. The first couple days were great. I mean, it was paradise. We got to go deep sea fishing and golfing during the day, and a crew was setting all this stuff up. I didn't even have to touch it. I just come play music. It's all the things that I thought I wanted. And about the third night on that island, I'm sitting on the side of my bed, and I'm miserable. And I remember sitting there, and I just cried out to God, and I said, "Why am I so unhappy?" Have you ever asked God a question, and then he responds with a question? I said, "God, why am I so unhappy?" And he said, "Eric, where am I in all of this? I'm over here on a shelf. You haven't brought me into this. This is all about you." You see, if I tie this all back into the parable, I was acting just like that third servant. That third servant, what's he say? He says, "I buried my talent because I was afraid." But really, what is he saying? He's really saying, "I don't care about your company. I don't care about your kingdom. I care about my own goals." And that's how I was living. You see, if my master had come back prior to that night on Diego Garcia, he wouldn't have said, "Well done, Eric." He would have said, "Why are you burying your talents?" But you know what one of my favorite things about God is? He doesn't give up on us. Amen? He doesn't give up on us.
Double amen.
Double amen. I like this guy. And Yeah, you know, I was reflecting on that. Why did I hear from God that night? It wasn't the first time that we were on tour and I was in a hotel room and I was unhappy, but why did I hear from God that night? And the answer to that question is I had started to make some changes in my life leading up to that tour. I'd gotten married to my beautiful wife, who I'm still married to this day. We had started attending a church almost every Sunday. I had been reading my Bible almost every night. I've been putting in my old DC Talk and Reliant K CDs when I was driving around, right? I've been talking to God more, praying more, and a funny thing happens whenever you spend time with somebody, you might actually hear what they have to say. So I'm spending time with God. I say, why am I so unhappy? And he tells me. See, what God was doing at that point in my life is he was drawing me back to the starting line, right? Think about a race. Pause from the story and picture a race. Picture a bunch of runners walking around. They're getting ready to go. What's the first thing that the official says? It's in your notes. He says, get ready. He says, you see this line right here? This is where you start. And that's what God was doing for me in my faith walk. And I think he does that for all of us. If we start venturing too far off the starting line, he's going to say, come on back. This is where you start. And the place that you start is spending time with God, getting in his word, talking to him. We're never going to hear what he has to say if we're not listening, right? So God says, this ain't it. What do I do with that? I've worked for 10 years on this goal, on this dream. And then God says, this isn't it. So we end that tour. I go back home. I talk to my brother, who isn't here with us today, but he's in the band. He's been my business partner and bandmate since day one. I talk to my wife. I say, this is how I'm feeling. And my brother, he says, well, if that's the way you're feeling, we should make some changes. And we don't make any drastic changes. We just take that idol and we knock it down a few notches. Not long after that, my wife and I felt God saying, it's time to leave L.A. It's time to leave California. You haven't been to the beach in 2 years. It's time to leave. And we didn't even know where we were supposed to go. God just said, go. So we sold everything. We packed up a little trailer, and we headed east. Bounced around to some friends' places, and we ended up grabbing my parents' camper. We wanted to go see my sister, who lives in Archibald, and her family. So we grabbed my parents' camper, and we parked it at this little lake called Harrison Lake in Fayette, Ohio. You guys ever heard of it? And we were there for 3 weeks. But it was like the second that we got to Northwest Ohio, to Harrison Lake, it was like God said, okay, you took this one step of faith, and now I can move. Now I can work. And God started to meet our needs. We didn't have very much money. We didn't have any friends. We didn't have much of anything. We were living in a camper at the time, you know? And then God started to check those boxes for us, though. My sister's friend was trying to sell their house, and he started renting it to us. Dirt cheap rent, fully furnished, month to month. We're like, we can do that for a little while we get things figured out. So now we got a place to live, and then the school calls my wife, and they say, would you like to finish out the school year working with special needs kids? That's what her degree is in. So she's like, yeah, I can do that while we get stuff figured out. And then we see this church, you can see it right over the cornfield. And so we walk over to that, well, we drive over, it's 2 miles, but we drive over to that church and we walk in the doors, and it was like a life-changing experience. We walked in that church, people started just loving on us. I mean, we were the kind of people that like to sit in the back of church, show up a little late, leave a little early, try not to get too, you know, involved. We showed up at this church. Somebody's at the door, even though we showed up late. Hi, we tried to leave early, somebody catches us. And that was what kept happening. But all of a sudden, we had community, we had friends, and we saw something in these friends that we didn't have in our other friends. These friends, the way they loved each other, the way they supported each other, the way that they reflected the love of Jesus in everything they did, we saw that in them, and we wanted it. This is a side note, but it's a memory I have, and we went out to Chipotle with a group of like 20-some-year-olds, and we sat down and we were eating Chipotle. But before we started eating, all of them instinctively just bowed their heads, and one of them prayed. That shouldn't have been weird. That shouldn't have been different to me. I grew up in a Christian home, but I'd gotten so far off course That wasn't normal to me, but I wanted it to be. So we saw these things, these little things that they thought were insignificant in the way that they lived, but they were hugely significant to us, and we wanted it. So we started chasing after it. I got involved on the worship team. My wife got involved in a women's ministry. And the next thing I know, my wife is getting baptized. One of the best days of my life, the day my wife gets baptized. And life in Northwest Ohio was really good. Our relationship as a married couple had never been better because Jesus was at the center of it now. Our relationship with God had never been better because we were investing time into it. And things were just really good. I think back on that time to what was God doing at that time in my life, and it brings me back to that race. Remember the race? Pause from the story. The race, the runners are all at the starting line. He says, get ready. The next thing the official says is, get set. When he says get set, all the runners tighten up their muscles. The body starts to support the other parts of the body. The calf supports the ankle, the knee supports the calf, the hamstring supports the knee, and the body tightens up so that runner can take off efficiently and effectively and run the race that he was designed to run. And it's the same way with the body of Christ. Until we're a part of the body of Christ, you're just an ankle. You're just a finger. And we can't fulfill the purpose that God has for our lives because we're not designed to do it that way. We're designed to do it together. So God says, get ready. Spend some time with me. Get set. Become a part of the body of Christ. What do you think he said next? You guys are smart. One time I did this and the guy said, stop. Anybody know Randy Roofer? Yeah, but anyhow, yeah, go. And if you don't remember anything else from this message, the time this weird guy came up in front of you and talked, remember this. When God says go, it's time to go. It's time to take a step. When God says go, that doesn't mean now we write out our 12-step plan before we take a step. When God says go, we take a step forward. And so God started saying go. He said go. My friend, actually Randy Roofer's son, Corey Roofer, on the worship team told me, you need to go up and meet this guy up in Adrian, Michigan named Peter Bishop. Stand up, Pete. This is Pete, everyone. He said, you need to go meet this guy named Pete. He's doing a really cool thing with a nonprofit studio up in Adrian. He's mentoring kids. It's really cool. There's a community of musicians. So I'm like, I'll go check that out. I go up. I meet Pete. I immediately just want to be around Pete all the time. He's like the nicest guy on the planet. He'll give you the shirt off his back. And so now I'm going up to Adrian all the time. Tell my brother, who's still living in California, you need to come back to Adrian, Michigan, and hang out at this studio. Some cool things are happening. So now Ryan's coming back. We start writing these songs. We don't even know what we're going to do with them. And then there's also, like I said, a community of musicians. So these other guys are coming in. I'm starting to make friends with guys in these other bands. Even some bands that we listen to on the radio, like Sanctus Real and some other bands. And so now, like, we're starting to have this network of musicians. And the next thing I know, we're down in Nashville, and we're recording at Toby Mac's studio. And I got to tell you, like, that didn't get any bigger for me than Toby Mac. He was like Michael Jordan to me when I was growing up. And so now we're down there, and I'm like, what is God doing? And I don't tell you this to brag. It's the exact opposite of pointing at me. I want to point at God, and here's why. On my own power, with my own strength and ability, I moved to Los Angeles, California with the intention of networking with music industry people and creating friendships in the industry. And in 8 years, we created some friendships and some cool things happened. And then God says, hey, Eric, give it all up and move to a cornfield in Northwest Ohio. Right? And I do. But I thought for sure I was giving up music. And then within 8 months, God provides more friendships and more relationships and more opportunities in the music industry than I had created for myself in 8 years in Los Angeles. You got to give it up for God on that. That's so cool, right? I tell you what, we work with a lot of kids, and not one time have I said to a kid that's ready to go, He's getting his chops up. He's got his skills. He's ready to go. I've never said this. You know what, buddy? The next thing for you, move to Archbold. Now, don't get me wrong. I love Archbold, Ohio. I hope I never have to leave. I want to live here forever. I love it. But it's not exactly the music mecca of the world, right? It's not a place. But look at what God did, because God is able to do immeasurably more than we can ever ask or think or imagine. And if you don't believe that, you should, because he can and he will and he'll do it. Because God is good. And so there we are, right? And so God didn't stop saying, go there. He said, go, start this band and call it 10 Talents so you never forget why you started it. He said, go, there's this little camp, ironically, right back over on Harrison Lake. It was a Youth for Christ camp. He says, go play this Youth for Christ camp. I didn't even know what that was at the time, but we went, we played this camp. About 100 kids showed up, and I was standing right here where I always stand when I play the bass. And I look down about night three, and I see kids crying as they sing songs to Jesus. I see kids that didn't know Jesus. They didn't grow up in church, coming to know who they were and who he is. And I feel God from head to toe, like my whole body shook. I'll never forget it. It wasn't audible, but I heard God in my head say, now you're doing what I want you to do. And it was like somebody lit a fire under me, because now I knew what God wanted me to do. So I got off that stage, called my friend Luke. I said, Luke, God wants me to do more of this. How do I do it? He gave me the number for the lady, Molly was her name. She did all the Youth for Christ camps across the country. And I call her up, Molly, my name's Eric. I play in this band, 10 Talents, and we want to play all your camps, and you don't even have to pay us. I don't remember what she said, but she was probably like, I bet your band's really good, buddy. You ever hear of an email? You know? But you know what? That summer, we played 8 camps. We spent all summer doing these camps. That's because it was what God wanted us to do. We were in his will. One of those camps was a FCA leadership camp. You guys heard of Fellowship of Christian Athletes, FCA? So one of those camps was an FCA leadership camp, and one of the leaders at that camp told me I should call this guy named Joel Penton. Joel Penton runs this organization named Stand for Truth, and they use bands and speakers in public schools to share the gospel with unchurched kids. So of course I'm going to call Joel. Every time God says go and we take a step forward, good things are happening. Now you fast forward to this day, we've been full-time with Stand for Truth since 2017. And through those 3 organizations, above Pete's Garage, Youth for Christ, we're still actively involved in Youth for Christ, and Stand for Truth, through those 3 organizations, I get to see life change in thousands of kids every year. I get to see kids come to know Jesus. And I get to play music to be a part of that. Isn't God good? Isn't God good? Isn't God good? And the thing is he has created each one of us. There's a reason that we're good at certain things or that we enjoy certain things, and that's because that's how God created us, with certain passions and certain things that we're just naturally gifted at. And you know what, though? God just doesn't want us to use these resources and these talents and these abilities for him. He doesn't just want us to. But as that parable explains, he expects us to. He expects us to. And when we do, though, it might not always be easy, but it's going to be purposeful. And it's going to be one of the best things that we can do with our time is to use the gifts that God has entrusted to us to glorify him, to further his kingdom. And I don't know, each person here, I don't know if you're, usually say if you're 8 or you're 80, it doesn't matter. God still has a purpose for our life. He still wants to use us. He's still given each of us unique abilities, and he wants us to use those to glorify him. So I'm going to close with 3 application steps and back them up with scripture. You guys remember the 3 points? They're really difficult, but I think we got them, right? Number 1, get ready. Our font's a little bit off, so I'll read it. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added to you. It doesn't work the other way around. We seek God first, and then all these things will be added unto you. Another way to put it is, delight yourself in the Lord, and then he'll give you the desires of your heart. If you're like me, I didn't even know what the desires of my heart were. I thought I cared about CD sales and Instagram followers. I thought I cared about how many people liked me. But then I started seeking God first, and he revealed that that's not the desire of my heart. The desire of my heart is to use the gifts he's given me to see young people come to know Jesus. Seek ye first. Number two, get set. You are the body of Christ and individual members of it. I see you guys are all here at church this morning. That's great. Courtney, my wife and I, we went to church in L.A. for a whole year, and I knew one person, and that was her. That wasn't being a part of the body of Christ. We have to serve. We have to live in community with each other because that's how we were created. So in my instance, God had something that he prepared us to do, but I wasn't equipped to do it until I became a part of the body. Because ministry is not always easy, and it takes the body of Christ to accomplish the purposes of Christ. Amen?